You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Glow, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Now, Scott, I've got mixed feelings about the US election being over because I really enjoyed the fascinating, almost morbidly fascinating sight of Donald Trump standing up and giving a speech and then giving another speech and saying the most outlandish things. But on the other hand, I didn't sleep at night. So now, tonight, I'm going to turn off CNN and Fox News and the BBC, and I'm going to get a good night's kip, I hope. I hope my body hasn't sort of started to get used to the fact that I'm up from 12 till 4 in the morning. But anyway, never mind that. I was watching the S&P 500 futures tick up to like 2.3% higher as soon as it became apparent that Mr. Trump would be the 47th president of the United States of America. What a story.
Yeah, and what a whitewash as well, man. It was, eventually it ended up just being a walk in the park for him. I mean, that's the presidency, it's the House, and it's the Senate. I mean, that's just the perfect trifecta. I heard some stats, you know, last time we've seen such a demolishment of the Democrats. I think it was the 80s. It's a massive victory. And markets, how does the saying go? Sanity will prevail. I'm going to change that up and say insanity will prevail, because to me today, I just see a absolute insane market.
Yes, you're quite right.
And I would really caution, you know, most investors out there listening to this podcast, saying that, man, this is it. We need to follow it, like, you know, like a herd, because this is, I mean, we've had Goldman Sachs coming out and say, well, they definitely extremely positive about the outcome. This is going to be very, very good for the S&P 500. They're adjusting their forecast. And if people go look at what they've adjusted their forecast to, I mean, it's still, you know, trading. The market is now trading, you know, above their current forecast, with them being extremely bullish. So,
you know, someone gets paid seven figures to come up with that rubbish. You do know that, don't you? Yeah, the S&P is trading at 5,900, and they'll put out a report saying our target is 5,925 for the end of the year.
It's actually 5,850 end of next year. So, and they're extremely bullish. And naturally today the West is best. I mean, I can't remember, you know, I was always waiting to use this little poem of mine, West is Best. We find ourselves, unfortunately, as the S within BRICS, and I know people say Brazil is also there in the West, but, you know, we find ourselves, unfortunately, on the side of the East, and, you know, as positive the US performed today, I mean, that negative, you know, the JSE actually not followed.
Yes, but we know why that is, and we'll come to that later on. But when you look at what happened today on the S&P and also on the bond market, it seems to me that people, despite the fact that Trump has played during the run-up to the election, he's played the I'm going to bring inflation down card, the market's really saying, no, inflation is going to go up under you, and whether it be because of the expansionary nature of the economy, and companies will do well, and there'll be a whole load of money going into the system, and people will be prosperous, or whether it be the Trump tariffs, if they come, putting the consumer under pressure and prices go higher. I don't know. But certainly the bond market has done badly, and the stock market has done well.
Yeah, so I mean, we're looking at the US. I mean, it's interesting. I look at this and I really laugh. Because I mean, we're going to chat about a few things. I mean, for instance, gold dropping 3%. I mean, the currency, the rand. I mean, well, let's use the dollar really strengthening. It's as if the whole world forgot that Trump is going to add even more debt to achieve what he's promised to achieve. He's going to make America great again. And to do that, he's going to need to go into, you know, some serious debt. As we sit here, the U.S. are actually trading at debt to GDP levels. That's 2023, of 122%. Now the last time he became president, let's call it 2015, it was still trading similar to the U.K. levels. You know, 99.8%. You need to ask yourself the question: what ammunition do Trump have this time around to really do what he says is going to do? To do that, he will most probably need to build a bigger debt to equity ratio or debt to GDP ratio, and ultimately, I think it's just it'll end bad. But like I said, this is now just been announced, and we'll hear in the next few days, you know, more of what is he going to start off first? Because there's been so many things. I mean, he's going to stop the war. I mean, that we know, he said many times.
Okay, let me just write these things down, because I've got so many things. Okay, the wars will stop, and he said that he'll stop the war in Ukraine within 24 hours. Okay, then he'll stop the war in the Middle East. The other things he said is there'll be a mass deportation like the world has never seen of illegal immigrants. So there'll be 15, 20 million people immediately kicked out of the United States. Well, who's going to fill their jobs? Because they're there working. And I'm sorry, but that is the most outlandish statement. So we've got the mass expulsions. We've got inflation coming down. We've already debunked that. So the inflation rate comes down. He said on several occasions he will bring energy prices down 50% in the first year. How are you going to bring down energy prices 50%? And don't give me that fracking argument, Donny J, because it's just not true. You can't bring energy prices down 50% unless you close the international futures markets or something like that and just use what you've got internally. I just don't understand it. What else did he say? And tariffs, of course.
China is going to be hit with 60% tariffs.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
25% across the board. And Mexico, I don't know, companies like John Deere, for example, who've set up a plant in Mexico, if they don't dismantle the plant and suddenly put it back in America, the goods that they make in Mexico and import or export, what am I talking about, to the United States, there'll be a 200% tariff on those because the plant is in Mexico. This is total madness. Also, he'll get rid of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Association, because Mexico and Canada have got an unfair advantage on the United States. He wants to leave NATO, or he won't pay for NATO. Gosh, he's got a hell of a shopping list.
Yeah, he's got a big shopping list. I mean, his Christmas list is getting longer and longer. But, I mean, I just want him to see, and like I said, I mean, a few things you just mentioned, but forget about NATO, but all these tariffs he's planning to hike. I want to see him do this, you know, without, and at the same time, actually also, you know, bring inflation down. I mean, it's just going to be.
It's going to be chaotic.
Fantastic to see.
It's going to be really chaotic. I would say, I mean, if I had his, if he phoned me up now, I would say, listen, have a nice time. Look forward to Christmas with your family. You don't have any friends, but with your family, and get ready for January. Because then all these promises you've made, if you don't fulfill those promises, then the people that voted for you will turn on you very, very quickly. You've seen the people that vote for him. There's been some beauties on the TV that I've watched. Not all of them are,
Trump, I would say, what's it, Elon Musk, maybe, I don't know, that might be not so beauty.
What do you make of Elon Musk, just as an aside, because he seems very awkward. I didn't realize he had 12 children. Did you know that?
What, that he knows of?
Well, yeah, but I mean, obviously money plays a part here in order to get him to, you know. I won't be crude, but he's got 12 children. But when he comes on stage, and he's always being interviewed. He's got this funny sort of twitch and this body language, and he looks very, very awkward around human beings.
Yeah, it does. I mean, but I get the same feeling. Remember back in the days when Windows 95 launched, and they had Bill Gates and all his back then his gang, the cool in the gang. Remember that same interview and dance they did, with the launch. I get that same awkwardness now with looking at Elon Musk. But this is an important thing. I mean, Tesla today, I think at one stage over 16% up. I think currently as we sit here, I'm going to quickly have a look.
Please,
I mean, 15.1% up today. This is crazy to think about it, because I mean, what does Mr. Market tells us? Are they telling us that Trump will now look after Elon Musk and his company Tesla?
Of course, the deal. Of course, it's the deal.
Okay, that's going to be difficult because remember they're big pals now. I mean, they're buddies for life. But remember, Elon Musk, has extensive, business interest in China. this could be an interesting one. Will Elon say, well, buddy, old pal, I mean, I helped you now. I hear what you say about these tariffs and really going all out on China. But, I mean, I will get hurt just as badly if you really hit all these tariffs that you actually say you're going to be doing. So,
and don't forget Russia as well, because according to the New York Times, Elon Musk has been talking to Putin, and Putin phoned him up when, gosh, there was something that he wanted. But anyway, he's doing things. Oh, that was it. It was Taiwan. When Taiwan had a typhoon and knocked out all the communications, Putin apparently spoke to him and said, don't put Starlink into Taiwan because I want to help out President Xi, and President Xi doesn't like Taiwan. It's a very, very complicated web of intrigue that has been spun by Elon Musk, and he may be getting in over his head at some point in the future.
Yeah. Again, I think it's going to be so many things. I mean, I got myself halfway through the Joe Rogan interview with Trump.
I couldn't watch it.
I did off hour and a half, and I just couldn't do it anymore. But I mean, the amount of promises that he's made. I mean, unemployment will go to the lowest levels that the U.S. has ever seen. No, it's
like
be,
no one's ever seen before. That's it'll be the greatest economy the world has ever seen. It's this and that. And he throws these comments away and people say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. We believe you. Based on fantasy, not fact. Anyway, let's have a look at something more important and probably close to your heart. The commodities getting slaughtered. Resources stocks on the JSE tumbling, falling out of bed, Skulk.
Yeah, I mean, we'll chat about the resource sector. Let's just get the elephant out of the room.
Go on, then.
Gold. Gold is making me old. Yeah, it's one of those days. I mean, like I said earlier this week, I mean, I've got no doubt that the Trump succeed, which he now has done, that would be let's call it a short-term, let's call it a breather for gold, because naturally we've seen the currency will improve. He said he's going to stop the wars immediately. I mean, naturally that will take away all geopolitical unrest, like immediately if he does that. So if all the things happen or flourish, which he said he'll be doing, naturally the gold price will have the effect that we've seen today. But as I mentioned, people tend to forget that for Trump to do this, he will need to take on more debt. And more debt just means, oh boy, I mean, gold still looks good. And here's an interesting factoid. When you look at Trump's first term, now that was period, I think 2016 to 2020.
Yes.
Over that 4-year period, gold rose 67%. Effectively $1,200 per ounce to $2,000 per ounce. So that's a, let's call it annualized 14%. So if it's second verse, same as the first, you know, we could very much see the gold price at anything between $4,000 and $5,000.
I mean,
not today. But I'm just saying, you know, when, I mean, listeners out there, and I'm not just touching on gold, but you can add into the mix. You can add in PGMs because PGMs got slaughtered as well. Mm. Oil, like you mentioned, oil. His comment was, we've got more gold. We've got more liquid gold, referring to oil. We've got more liquid gold than Russia and Iran is combined.
He threw in Saudi Arabia. He says we've got more oil reserves than Saudi Arabia, which, of course, again, is pure fiction.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. So, yeah, I mean, you can add some of these resources. I don't think, I mean, yes, I mean, we know that AGOA is definitely now under big threat. And that's the South African arrangement. I mean, we know that that's going to be interesting one. But I think it's been under threat. I think even Biden tried to still pull it through, you know, one of his last, hurrahs before he went to bed. I think just listeners out there, maybe just switch off your screens. Keep your TVs on because I think it's going to be fun listening to some of his intro speeches. I want to see if his, you know, first speech as president is going to be a rerun of his 2016 speech, or is he actually going to write a new one? And what is he going to say? But I think besides that, I would really not be reading too much into the market movement that we've seen today. In actual fact, be very careful following this. Because as I mentioned, you know, some of the more bullish banks out there, aka Goldman Sachs, even they really, really bullish, still see the S&P 500, for instance, trading at lower levels than it's currently trading.
Yes. Well, we'll see. But as I say, these analysts are very backward-looking rather than forward-looking. You know, the thing goes to 5,900, the S&P, and they said it's going to be 5,850 next year, but the narrative is still fairly bullish under a Trump administration. Let's have a look at some numbers, Skunk. Dollar rand is 17.65. British pound against the rand is 23.74, and the euro rand is 18.93, with the euro dollar 107.25. So the euro has, what is that, about a third of a percent move down for the euro, stronger for the US dollar, which has scuppered some of the metals that you so love. British pound is 128.80. Let's have a look at that gold price now, because it was nearly 2,900. It might have even touched 2,900 last week, but is now 2,674, which is down 2.4%. Was worse off than that. The platinum price is down 1.5%, or $15 an ounce to 986. And palladium down $37 an ounce, or 3.5%. That's the worst off, but still above 1,000, 1,040. The oil price has been interesting. It was down about 3% at one stage earlier today, but has recovered to only being down a third, actually 0.2% now, at $75.36. That's Brent. And West Texas is exactly flat at $71.98 per barrel. Other things going on there. Silver down 4%, copper down 4.7%. That's a big move. Yeah, so it's been a mixed day, but generally a red day. What else? The S&P 500 futures, all-time record highs this morning. They've come off a little bit. They were up 2.5% nearly. Now only up, well, I say only up around about 2%, 59.30, whatever the price is. It's flicking all over the screen today. US 10-year Treasury bond yield, this is quite a big one, 4.45%, which is a rise in yield of 16 basis points, around about 4%. And the SA 10-year, following its American peer, and is 960, which is, according to my screen, 28 basis points higher. Maybe that sounds a bit exaggerated. But anyway, you get the picture. Bond yields rising, so bond markets falling. Equities doing very well. So it's very interesting. And whether this trend can continue, I don't know. Bitcoin, I think, is also at record highs. I think Trump's got something to do with crypto, hasn't he now? So him in the White House, people love that. 6.6% up for Bitcoin, 74,200, we'll call it. So lots of stuff going on, Skulk. Now, if you looked at the S&P and then looked at the all share, you'd probably say, well, the all share is going to be up 1.5-2% given that, but not a bit of it. The resources stocks thwarting the ambitions of the local market.
Yeah, you're 100% right. But usually when you see, you know, this, because the JSE is so rand hedged. I mean, more than 60% of its earnings are actually earned in foreign currency. So when you see a day like today where the rand pretty much lost 2% of its value, you tend to think, well, that should in theory be positive for the market. But hell no. I mean, so when you look at, I know we're going to chat about the actual market movement, but when you look at a JSE all share dropping 1.5%, the top 40, which is even more rand hedged, 1.6% down. That is pretty much, you know, if you add, let's call it a close to two, I'm just going to do very simple math, to add a 2% drop in the currency. In dollar terms, that's pretty much 3.5 to 3.6% drop in our market today. While, as you just mentioned, I mean, the S&P 500, that's up 2%. Look at the Dow Jones. Dow Jones, 3.1% positive today.
Gosh.
And not Nasdaq also up over 2%. So we lost in real terms, or let's call it comparative terms, against the years, anything between 5 and 6% today in dollar terms. So that's massive, massive, massive. And you need to, you know, ask yourself the question, what happened to South Africa? Well, nothing happened to South Africa. It's just, you know, Trump isn't necessarily that big on, you know, China and all its friends.
There's going to be so much volatility in the next 3 months, 6 months, 4 years. It's going to be, you're going to have to be on your toes, Skulk, but I know that you will cope. Now, here's some individual stocks. I'll get rid of the rats and mice at the top of the table here. Alphamin up 3.3%, and no disrespect to any of these companies. Karoo up 3.3%. Rennet, a 3% winner, British American Tobacco, 2.75% higher, and AVI up nearly 2%. Now, this is where it gets horribly interesting. Sibania down nearly 9%, Implats down 7.2%, Northern Platinum down 6.7%, and Anglo American Platinum down 6%. I thought a while ago, speaking to somebody who's a resources bull and the cycle was turning and everything, that we'd seen the bottom. But it seems to me there may be another leg down before the thing starts to consolidate. What do you think, Skulk, especially the PGMs?
Yeah. I mean, you just mentioned it. The worst performers today, all of them. All of them, you know, if they were digging, they were losing. I mean, that's it. Just bottom line. If it was, you know, platinum, palladium, gold, it doesn't matter. They lost. But, you know, you need to ask yourself the question, a little bit, let's call it two months ago, what changed, you know, when this whole commodity cycle changed, where we had the change in the interest rate cycle, followed by China that said, well, we're going to be stimulating a little bit. And that suddenly put a whole new perspective, you know, on this market. I don't think that has changed at all. We are still a commodity producing country.
Right.
Commodities that you know, Trump, with one of the things he also said is he's going to be infrastructure focused. I don't know if it's infrastructure or building walls, but he's going to really be needing some of these commodities we are producing. And I still think that hasn't changed. And I think just to top it off, it was a very, very nice article that I read on, I think it was a Zero Hedge. Don't have it in front of me now. But where this writer actually, it was on Tech Central. Sorry, that was on Tech Central. Mm-hmm. We the writer actually very, very solidly argued that, I'm going to quote the heading of the article, China is better prepared for Trump 2.0. They were sort of unprepared for him last time around. But Yeah, what's the other saying? Okay, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or shame other way around. Shame on you and then shame on me. I do think that China is a little bit more prepared. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see or hear another sort of form of stimulus being announced from China sound very, very soon. So just watch the space and be careful just reading one side. I think this is, like you mentioned, it's going to be very interesting, and I think volatility is going to be the order of the day.
Yes, it is. You're going to be sending out letters to your clients. You're going to be preparing your sort of summary of the year. But I wouldn't start writing it too soon, Skalk. I would be waiting until maybe mid-December or something, because otherwise you'll lose people. It'll drop on the doormat or it'll be in the inbox and they won't look at it. But I think there's a few twists between now and year end, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that. Do I know what it's going to be? No, not at all. But I think, I just want markets to sort of just calm down now and to, work on real valuations. Because as we said here, the U.S. are elevated. Their markets are elevated. If you look at the levels they're actually trading at, and I'm talking about forward price-earning ratio or price-earning ratio, trading at levels that we haven't seen for 2 to 3 years, prior to the fiscal 2022 crash, and also before that, levels we haven't seen since the 2008 crash. So be very, very careful. I know that Trump is going to bring something different now. I mean, I'm not going to argue that fact. He's got a lot of plans, but he needs to implement them with not as much ammunition as he had back in 2016.
Okay, good. Give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, Skalk.
So the JSE today, as I mentioned, closed down 1.52% at 85,330 points. The top 40, 77,232 points, also down 1.61%. The baddie of the day.
Resources.
4% down, 4% down for resource sector. Even industrials, couldn't be helped by the likes of British American Tobacco, Richmond. Both these companies doing fairly well. British American Tobacco Company, as you mentioned, 3% up for today. Richmond up 1.22%. This is Rand Hedges. Couldn't help them. They were still down, 0.86%. Naturally, Naspers and Prosus played their part. And then financials closed down 98 basis points, and property sector with this drop in the currency and also the pop in the long bond rate didn't help. So that is also down 0.74%. When we look at the value traded for today, not too bad. I wouldn't disregard this as just a low volume day. 22.6 billion traded today. So fairly strongish volume coming through as well.
Very good. Skalk, thank you very much for your analysis on this extraordinary day. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.